Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Yeah, like I said, I'm just going to be working on, finishing up this game, doing a good job evaluating that, our after-action report like we always do, and then I'm going to be working into San Francisco. Again, those are conversations we'll have, and again, I'm confident that I'll be working on to San Francisco and getting ready for that game.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Brody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We are broadcasting live from Rally House in Wrigleyville. Are you looking to gear up for the Illinois versus Northwestern game today at Wrigley Field? Look no further than Rally House. It's awesome. Just across the street from the stadium. Come out and join us or say hello. Does joining us mean that you actually come on with us? So I don't know. Maybe you get to join us. We'll be here until 11 a.m. Stop in for food, prizes.
Food?
Yeah, I haven't seen the food yet.
I stop every time you say that.
And an unbeatable selection of team gear. You can also enter to win a $25 Rally House gift card. We'll get to more of your calls a little bit later on. I see the text stream coming in. I'm reading them. I'll try to pick some out, too, and maybe we just read a whole cluster of them later at 312-644-6767. We'll continue with my list of candidates as well. And we have Gabe over here ranking them. So far, we have Cliff Kingsbury down, who you gave, what was it, an 8 point?
An 8.7.
8.7. And then Bill Belichick, check this out.
5.9.
Unbelievable.
Is it?
The GOAT gets a 5.9. No, you explained yourself pretty well. And you're right. We don't know what Bill Belichick has left in the tank. He is trying to prove that he has something left in the tank by doing the broadcasting job, which has been very interesting. Let's talk more about the Bears now with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. Let me make this official, though. Joining us now on the Circa Sports Hotline is Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. He is also my partner on the Take the North podcast. He is a frequent contributor to The Score as well. Download the Circa Sports app today. Weedsy, good morning, sir. How are you?
I talked with both of you guys yesterday, and it feels like it was about 3.5 years ago because of how crazy and chaotic the entire day was. And then the number of calls I've taken in the last 24 hours is head spinning. So I'm surviving, Grody, I think is the easy answer.
Yeah, I'm sure you slept well last night at the end of a long day for
There's
you.
There's no sleeping right
that's
now,
my,
Dave.
That's tongue-in-cheek, tongue-in-cheek, gross. But Dan, I think, you know, Grody did something at the very beginning of this show, and it was he had a moment to decompress. He had a moment to sit back and really find what was most jarring in his head about what's happened over the last 24 hours. Can you do the same? I mean, you mentioned being on a lot of shows and obviously covering it at length, but now that you did have an opportunity to decompress, the head hit the pillow, you've woken up now, you know, what is top of mind for you as the news of Coach Eberflus being fired still resonates?
Yeah, I think what's top of mind more than anything else, Gabe, is how significant this next decision is for the Bears. It's who is going to be the next head coach of this football team and who's going to be the person deciding who that next coach is. I think we can all agree that there's a lot of football left to be played in this season and that you can't necessarily take it as a given that Ryan Poles will be the man in the general manager's chair when we get into the first week after the regular season ends. And so through that lens, there's a lot on the plate of the team president, Kevin Warren, who obviously has shown yesterday that he has been given the authority from ownership to make decisions that have never been made in the history of the organization. And now I think the entire franchise is facing a pivotal stretch here over the next 5 to 10 weeks to figure out what the next course of action needs to be.
Dan, I'm going to need you to say more about who is deciding on the next head coach. You think that it potentially Ryan Poles is on unstable ground?
I how could he not be, Grody? It looked like I had several conversations with people around the league yesterday. And, you know, again, there's 5 more games to play in this season. When we took off on a plane from London with the Bears at 4-2, no one would have ever foreseen us being in this place on the weekend of Thanksgiving, right? And so there's no promise, as we talked about yesterday, that this losing streak doesn't go from 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10 to 11. And let's be very clear. The way the losing streak got from 0 to 6 has involved a car wreck every single week for the last 6 weeks. These haven't just been losses. Like, had they gone to Detroit on Thursday and lost to the Lions, the NFC favorites, by 3 points and played a really clean, impressive, competitive football game, you'd say, okay, cool. It was a car wreck, and it was the 6th consecutive week that you've had a car wreck. And so if you continue to have car wrecks through the end of this season, how could the general manager not be culpable for what this season has become?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, there have been, and maybe he was a little bit late pulling the trigger here on Matt Eberflus, which is ironic to say since this is the first time they've ever fired a head coach in season. But here's the thing. Here's what I was talking about at the beginning that Gabe brought up, and that is nobody could have – or I guess you could have, but nobody looked at this roster at the beginning of this season, which Ryan Poles put together, and said, oh, that's a bad job of putting a team together. Most of us – point the thumb, got a little carried away with how good we thought the roster was. And Dan, I don't remember exactly what you were saying at the time, but I felt like there was about 90% approval rating with what Ryan Poles did, including from his bosses. So doesn't that have to count as well?
Part of the evaluation. There's no question that's part of the evaluation. And that is something that Ryan will probably stand on the table and emphasize if and when his performance review comes up when the season ends. But rewind yourself to the idea that you say they were a little bit late getting rid of the head coach. Remember, there were people advocating for it when last season ended. I always remind people that we walked out of Lambeau Field last season as the year ended, and we watched the Packers beat the Bears to get themselves into the playoffs in the first year after Aaron Rodgers, and we saw the Bears thoroughly outclassed by a division opponent for, I don't know if that was the 10th consecutive time, 12th consecutive time, I lose track. And we walked in to week 19 last season wondering whether Matt Eberflus had shown anything to merit keeping his job for another season. And essentially, Ryan told you that he was very impressed with the stretch last season where the Bears won 5 out of 7. He was very impressed with Matt's ability to hold things together through turmoil. The problem, guys, is that the turmoil has been never ending. And it's been really, really consistent over Matt's 3 years. And Ryan oversaw that, right? Like, Ryan made the decision that Matt was going to be the guy to go and hire the offensive coordinator to oversee the number one pick. And he failed badly in backing Matt Eberflus, in backing Shane Waldron. And it's why the Bears are 4-8 right now, staring up at a division that they may never catch up.
Yeah, and it goes back to, you know, what a margin for error, what the margin for error looks like, right? When you're talking about, you know, the deviation that a coach can have with mistakes, and mm-hmm. then when you're talking about the GM, Dan, I'm curious because this is something that's been top of mind for me, and it is that, you know, when people are discussing whether it's Flus or Ryan Poles, you're going to talk about the good, and then you're also going to talk about the bad. But
yes.
No GM is going to hit 100% of the time. So I guess my question to you is, what is an acceptable hit rate? When we're trying to evaluate someone like Ryan Poles, we have to look at the GM market as a whole. And you're saying, okay, well, what standard is everyone being held accountable for? So in your mind, what is that hit rate out of 10 that a GM needs to hit consistently before we start looking at him, you know, in a negative light?
As far as what? Hitting on what?
I guess your job, right? On the coaches, on the players themselves, on your draft picks, on your signings, hitting on those marks is what I'm asking.
Because there's going to be bad moments. I mean, every
no, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's why you always have to be fair to general managers in the draft, and specifically because nobody hits for high average in the draft. Right. It's a real roll of the dice. And I've always joked that the number of resources that go into it, you know, the three of us could probably bat the same batting average if we were just given a list of you know, the top prospects in the draft and just winged it on draft.
Dan, why do you want the Bears to fire their scouting department?
Hey, maybe I'm lobbying for a new job here. Okay. Maybe it's time I get something with a little more pressure involved with it. Right. But no, for real, like I think when you're evaluating your general manager, you want to see undeniable direction towards sustained success, sustainable success. Right. And so like that is something that's going to have to factor in to the conversation when the season ends, and you're going to have to look at what are Ryan Poles' greatest achievements, what are his greatest missteps, and you're going to have to put them side by side. And if you are Kevin Warren and you have been given the power to be the overseer of the general manager, you have to ask yourself, does this make sense to continue forward on this path, and what does it mean for our search of a coach? Because listen, you'll talk to people around the league right now and say, look, like, there will be candidates that will be weary of interviewing for a job to come work for a general manager whose job security isn't certain for the long haul. You know, and so you get back into the state that the Bears are always in with mismatched timelines and how that affects kind of how you do your business. Because if you come in for a year as a new head coach and then next year at this time we go, well, Ryan Poles wasn't it, and he gets launched, now you're pairing a coach with a general manager who didn't choose him, and that you're going down the same road of chaos that we've experienced in this franchise for far too long.
Talking with Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune. He also is my partner on the Take the North podcast, which is up and running. Dan and I did record an episode last night with all sorts of good stuff in that, so we appreciate the support on the Take the North. Dan, let's talk a little bit about the right now. Thomas Brown takes over as the interim head coach. It sounds like he will be calling plays. So he's going to have his hands full with the schedule that remains, including at San Francisco and at Minnesota right off the bat. What do you think about the position that Thomas Brown has been put in and the move that the Bears made to put him in charge?
I feel badly for Thomas Brown. I do, because I know this is an amazing opportunity to try to show your leadership chops over a 5-week stretch. But my God, guys, it was just 18 days ago that he was your passing game coordinator, and he had just now gotten comfortable becoming your offensive play caller and your, you know, basically direct point of contact to Caleb Williams. And they had been showing momentum and strides. And now guess what? Thomas Brown has got to oversee the defense. Thomas Brown's got to oversee the special teams. Thomas Brown's got to oversee game management. Thomas Brown has got to come down from his comfort in the overhead booth calling plays during games and now call plays from the sideline. He's got to get Eric Washington ready to now be the defensive play caller, which wasn't the case last week. And so the amount of flux that he's been thrust into is massively challenging. If he can succeed through this, then there should be a lot of people around the league lining up for his services, and we'll see what happens over the next 5 weeks. Because Grody, you and I are on the record pretty emphatically at saying we've been pretty impressed with how Thomas Brown has handled the last 3 weeks. Well, guess what? These next 5 weeks have a degree of difficulty that's like exponentially above what we've experienced so far.
When you say, though, that teams will be lining up for his services if he is successful, do you mean as head coach? Do you mean as offensive coordinator?
As something.
What do you mean? As something,
because you will have something on your resume that points to an ability to thrive amid chaos and commotion. And there's no denying that's what the Bears are in right now. This is full on chaos, full on commotion. You've got, again, a 6-game losing streak that has no promises that it will end within this season. And so you got to figure that out. And so we'll see where the whole thing goes. I mean, I know my seatbelt is buckled. And like I say, it's not just that we've seen 6 consecutive losses. It's that they've all been jaw dropping in their own way.
But there has been some light, right? When you look at Caleb Williams and, you know, his performance, it seems like he hasn't been able to put together a complete game with his first half struggles. But certainly you can point to him and look at him and say, all right, this is a guy that you can build your team around. He does have that skill set. And then what's been most exciting for me as a Bears fan has been Caleb Williams at the podium following a game. Well, at least not this last game, but the games before that, the other 5 before that, where I was concerned what he would look like talking to the media. But he comes up with the same. He seems consistent when he gets up there. He greets everybody. He always tries to look at it as a learning opportunity. And I'm curious what your take is. Obviously, Dan, you're there firsthand. You get to see him just like Grody. Your take on him, seeing him following these games, and were you equally as happily surprised when you saw him taking these losses the way that he was?
I really like the word you use there, consistent, because I think that's really important in that position, is to have that steadiness and that demeanor that other guys can see and respond to. And Caleb, as a 22-year-old kid when he started the season, 23 last week, has shown a maturity and a steadiness that's really, really impressive for what he's been put in the middle of. You talk about the second half Thursday in Detroit. You go to halftime with an offense that's in complete disarray. You only had 2 first downs in the first half. You're facing a defense that at that point hadn't given up a touchdown in 12 quarters. And then all of a sudden you come back in the second half and you throw for 220 some yards and 3 touchdown passes. And you've got the Bears on the doorstep of a potential 99-yard game-winning drive in the final minutes on that stage. Man, that's great stuff. And that's why there are going to be candidates lining up to come take this job, because they see a path to the stage where the confetti falls on the last Sunday of the football season, right? Like, that's what Caleb Williams offers you to dream about right now. The question is how much psychologically is he impacted by everything he's had to endure his rookie season? Like, Caleb told us during the pre-draft process that he was doing his homework on the history of the Bears. He wanted to know why this franchise was so lost for 40 years, why they had never been able to develop a quarterback. And he was told that was the missteps of previous regimes. Like, trust us, we've got it this time. Well, now 12 starts into his career, his offense coordinator fired, his head coach fired. And there's no promises on what it's going to look like by the time he reports back to OTAs in the spring.
Oh, this is what you guys were talking about. That's the why. Okay. It's all very clear all of a sudden.
Son, I told you not to go to the Bears.
Right. Like, he's in it now, though, right? Like, he's in it now.
Yeah. Now you can't leave.
He's got at least another 3 seasons on it. You know, everybody here hopes that it's got another 12 to 15 seasons on it. He's got to figure out a way to navigate this, you know. And again, 23 years old, that's not an easy headspace to be in. I can't imagine where his head is at as he goes to Southern Cal today to have his jersey retired.
Oh, man, that's right. That is going down today. That is the voice of Dan Weider of Chicago Tribune of the Take the North podcast, Gabe Ramirez, and myself, Mark Grody. We are broadcasting from the Rally House at 1027 West Addison. I should also remind you, too, that number 2 Ohio State takes on Michigan today as they renew their Big Ten rivalry. Kickoff
is
coming up at 11 on the Score and the Odyssey app. Are you laughing at Michigan right now? Is that what you're doing, Dave?
I am laughing at the notion that people watching this game assume that there is some rivalry. They've conceded.
Mean?
They've conceded to who the victor of this game is going
to be. It's
still
a rivalry, though.
Yeah, but you're not looking at it the same. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
right. Is it like
Sox
Bears Packers?
Let's go Cubs Sox. Okay. We don't talk about Bears Packers. Cubs Sox. When the Sox are bad, you just kind of conceded, and you don't really care. It's not really as interesting. It's not much of a crosstown cup,
anticlimactic kind of thing happening right here. Normally, it's pretty good, Dan. Because I think a lot of this is like we're all waking up and wondering what we're all thinking, as Gabe said right at the beginning. As you woke up today and have had, you know, a couple cups of coffee now, any further justification or theories on what was going on yesterday at Hallis Hall in terms of why Matt Eberflus was speaking to the media just like he always does after games and being peppered with questions about being fired and what happened in the game? Any more theories on that?
Well, there's no doubt that it was clumsy, you know, and it, listen, I took calls last night that gave the perception of the outside world that the Bears were kind of playing the circus organs again inside Hallis Hall. I will say this, that we learned last year when Matt Eberflus' job security was uncertain for, I think, 3 days after the regular season ended before they said they were bringing him back, that in Kevin Warren, you have a guy that is going to be very detailed, thorough, and just really determined to check every box as you go through and make huge high stakes decisions for your franchise. And so I think that there was a lot of deliberation and a lot of discussion that was going on inside the building yesterday morning, trying to figure out what the right decision was and to make sure that you had great feelings about the decision you were making and weren't just making it emotionally after what you experienced Thursday. I still don't know how it got to the point where Matt was on a Zoom call being peppered with questions, and then 2 hours later he was being given a box and told to clean out his office. I mean, that is it is. There's no question it's a little bit clumsy. I think ultimately, though, the fact that they got to the decision that they got to, it's historic, as we've documented, tells you that the Bears are trying to do things a different way. And that's what people have pleaded for a long, long time. And again, now they enter a 2025 calendar year that's got a lot at stake as they try to set direction for this franchise.
I try to think, you know, where does which direction does the pendulum swing when it comes to, you know, the organization and, you know, what's going on? Because, you know, Grody talked about it being an organizational thing, right? Where it's like that's how they run things. It's the organization. But then you have two new guys that you thought were changing everything, and Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. And so I'm just conflicted when trying to think about the future of the Bears. I wish you could see my pendulum swinging in my pen, Dan, as I'm swinging it side to side. Because I'm trying to really think as a Bears fan, like, who is going to be can Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles truly make the decisions about the future of the team when the organization and their ways are getting in the way?
Gabe, I'll pay you a little compliment here, because I do appreciate and I enjoy listening to you, because you do have that pendulum and you're able to swing back and forth and figure out.
He's always got his pendulum with him. always. Yeah.
But it's cool, like, to consider both sides of things. Like, you have the side of you that wants to feel hopeful. You have the side of you that's like, I don't know about this. And you try to figure out where that meter needs to land. And so, look, like, this, that's why I say at the outset of our conversation here that this upcoming stretch is as important as any of the Bears have ever been in, because they have to find a head coach to marry up with a GM, to marry up with Caleb Williams, to set direction immediately for 2025 and beyond in ways that define who this franchise thinks it can be versus who it's been for the last 40 years. And you've got to make that happen. I'll tell you this, because I heard you guys talking about setting a candidate list here. Presence in this job matters. And as they go seek a head coach, it's not the most important thing that you seek in a head coach, but it's got to be a piece of your pie, right? And I think that's something that they miscalculated with Matt Eberflus, because this is not Charlotte. This is not Atlanta. It's not Nashville. This is not a market where you can kind of be a little bit awkward and clumsy at the podium and say things that aren't quite right and get away with it. Like, every one of your press conferences is live streamed to a passionate fan base that is chiming in real time. You've got a media that is asking questions every single day that they're out there that are hard and pressing and seeking answers and seeking vision. And that part of the job Matt didn't handle very well. And it eroded his credibility for a lot of people. And then the credibility eroded into really bad game management decisions. And then you put all that together and you see a guy that couldn't get through his third season as a head coach here. And so you cannot take that for granted when you go into the search about what the forward-facing parts of this job are, how important they are, and how critical it is that you have somebody that stands up there with presence and command and creates a feeling like, yeah, everybody's got this, and we're in good hands with this person leading the football team.
Shane Waldron.
That's the guy.
Think about that, right?
Like, you just talked about him, yeah.
And contrast that with what we've seen from Thomas Brown the last 3 weeks, and you can understand why there's been a swell of momentum for Thomas. And again, he'll get his opportunity, but ultimately, whoever goes through the starting gate of 2025 as the head coach better have a little bit of charisma and chutzpah that provides some of that wind at his back.
All right, quickly, we got 30 seconds. Give us your top name right now. And I know this is a fluid situation, Dan. I understand that. But I'm giving names. Give us
who has the present.
Who is on this day, as we broadcast from the Rally House in Wrigleyville, who is your top candidate to be the next Bears head coach?
All right.
I don't have a top candidate. I would say, like, Ben Johnson be the first guy that you would
approach. 2.2. You got a 2.2.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to give you a name to add to your list. This is an outside one, but I'm going to tell you to have a little discussion after the break about Josh McCown, quarterback's coach in Minnesota, former Bear, interviewed for some head coaching jobs in the past. What if? I don't think it's that's the longest of long shots, but I just wanted to add to your list so you guys can have a little fun.
I love it. And I'll tell you what, Dan, thank you for jumping on. I appreciate you. I hope you get a little bit of rest today, but you're the best, man. Thanks.
You know what we say, Grody. Great talk. See you out there.
See you, man. That's Dan.
That was genuine at the end, too.
Yeah, it was. That's usually his log off on the Take the North podcast, so we appreciate Weezy coming on.
Josh
McCown. Do you want to give that a ranking right now?
I'll give it a 0.0.
Wow, you have no faith.
No faith. I want someone with experience. Zero for Josh McCown. You're out.
We have a lot coming up here. When we come back, I was just jotting some things down. I think I'm going to fire off a bunch of, we're just going to read through a bunch of text messages, maybe do a little back and forth on those. We'll add another coach to the mix. And because I've loving the ranking system that Gabe Ramirez has going on here, we'll get you up to date on his rankings here in just a second. Calls at 312-644-6767. And also coming up top of the hour, 10 o'clock, is that when James Big Cat Williams is coming on. So I'm looking very forward to talking to the former Bears offensive lineman about everything that is going on in the organization, a guy who was in the organization for a lot of years. We are broadcasting live from the Rally House at 1027 West Addison, right across the street from Wrigley Field. Come on by and say hi. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Gabe.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's right. We're at the Rally House in Wrigleyville. Come out and join us. Definitely say hey. We're enjoying getting a chance to meet and greet with some of our score heads, some of our score fans, some of our Gabe Ramirez fans. Before the Illinois and Northwestern game coming up at 11 across the street at Wrigley Field, you can enter to win a $25 gift card for Rally House. This is a must-stop and shop location for all of your Illinois and Northwestern gear before the game, which will be going down.
And holiday shopping. I can't emphasize that enough. Listen, I want you guys to come here to get Illinois and Northwestern gear because of the game. But if you can't get down here today, I want you to get down here at some point. I've been already looking. They've got a bunch of kids' clothes here, too. Like, nice. If you're looking for, you know, kids' stocking stuff, you want to brainwash your child to be a Bears fan early, they have that for you here.
It's a lifestyle, man.
Do you want them to be a lovable loser and love, like, the Cubs for the next 100 years?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, is that not how that
works?
Take
it easy. They won the World Series in 2016.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with my cousin because he was always giving me crap. You know, I'm a Sox fan. And he's like, dude, he's like, the White Sox, lightning in a bottle moment, dude. You know, pitching staff. Da-da. And I told him, I said, don't let 10 years pass before the Cubs win a World Series again.
Seriously.
And here we are. And you can almost say, not almost, you can say that the Cubs World Series was lightning in a bottle.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I agree with you. Once it hits that... where are we right now? Eight years? 10 years is where we're going to start to talk. At least give the appearance that you have intentions on winning another playoff game.
But it's how?
Right.
They had
by going after any of the big free agents.
That's what I mean. They had lightning in a bottle in a particular year where they built an organization.
It wasn't
and it
lightning in a bottle, Gabe. They went to the NLCS three straight years.
That's what my cousin said.
15. It's the truth.
My cousin said, he's like, what are you talking about?
15,
like,
they 16 almost, and 17.
There was a buildup to the World Series.
They did what they intended to do. They broke that thing down. They allowed the Cubs to lose 100 games almost twice, or was it twice? I don't even remember now. I put away all of that.
All right, I'm sorry, Gray, for getting you started.
No, it's okay. Hey, man, look.
Not all of us have World Series rings. Sorry, bro. I'm sorry.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
Keep that. Remember that, too. Okay? Before when you get out of control, remember who's got the World Series ring here. Also, I just want to point out, too, that I am proud of you because Gabe has told me that he is part Cubs fan now because of the fact that he was.
Who said that?
Dude.
I never said that. What are you talking
dude,
about?
Dude, you were part of the broadcast. How many times did you do pregame over the last couple of years?
Wait. Part of the broadcast and
you sang the
Cubs
stretch.
Fan. Yes.
You can't not be a Cubs fan.
And when they said, when they were like, root for the Cubbies, I went like this, root for the.
Well, see, now that's just rude, then, man. You disrespect.
I wanted Cubs fans to have their moment, and I put the microphone out there, and I did not disrespect because I would tell you, our guys. Listen, stop making me look bad in Wrigleyville about my Cubs fans. I have love for Cubs fans. I don't hate the Cubs like most Sox fans. That's not my style. I'll say that.
All right. I mean, and we're surrounded by Cubs gear right now, and I noticed that you're sweating.
The walls are closing out.
We've got James Big Cat Williams coming up in just a little bit out here at the Rally House, the former Bears offensive lineman who was in that organization for a long time. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting his thoughts, and as always, his expertise on the offensive line, because that has been a big issue for the Bears this year. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let me rip off a few of these text messages. And if you want to call as well, we'll be taking those as well. 312-644-6767. 219, I'm sight reading. Haven't read these yet. So, good morning. I just read a report that Poles wanted Eberflus gone after the Patriots game, but ownership wouldn't let him. I don't know if that's true. First of all, I have not personally seen that report. Maybe we can get some verification on that, boys, if you guys see anything on that. But I have a hard time believing that. Maybe Ryan Poles wanted to, but the reason I have a hard time believing that is because I know genuinely how much Ryan Poles liked Matt Eberflus, and quite frankly, Gabe, he was, I will say, a little bit flustered, a little bit befuddled, a little bit taken aback when we questioned whether or not Matt Eberflus should be back this week or this year. And Ryan Poles went out of his way when the bleep was hitting the fan several times last year to say this ain't on Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, no one wants to be wrong in whatever profession you are in. And that's no different as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. You didn't want to be wrong about Velus Jones. You didn't want to be wrong about Chase Claypool. You didn't want to be wrong about Nate Davis. You didn't want to be wrong about Matt Eberflus, right? And so you learn people's characters and their character flaws when you get to be around them or, you know, get to observe them for multiple years. And that's what we saw with Ryan Poles. In the present, we know he is a guy who was loyal. We see him in Hard Knocks crying for his players. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. I actually like that about Ryan Poles, that he cares about his guys. But you can care to a fault. And
oh, yeah.
With this situation, I'm sure, based off of what we've seen, you can say he, in his heart of hearts, wanted this to work out with Matt Eberflus because he hired him.
That's
and it's
great
your
point.
It's your GM job. You're hiring a coach. The last thing you want to do is be like, yeah, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
No, you want to
say that's on him, right?
That's right. You're like, hey, I didn't get enough time to build this roster out the way that I wanted to. Give me one more offseason with Coach Eberflus, then we can move on from him. I had a 4-year plan, and I think that is something that he would have wanted as opposed to just firing him on the spot, you know, haphazardly.
Yeah, no, all good points. And look, I mean, I've talked about this before. I'll never forget, and I just thought this was symbolic of Ryan Poles and the fact that he still has the emotional side attachment, like which I think probably goes away the longer you do the job of general manager. But remember when they had signed Larry Ogunjobi and then to be the three technique, and then he fails his physical, and Ryan Poles was a wreck after that because of the personal side of it. He hated that he had to pull that money away from the player. And we saw it with Adrian Colbert on HBO Hard Knocks, you know, practically in tears in that moment. So I know from being around Ryan Poles how seriously he takes the human side of it. So that's why I have a hard time believing that after the New England game, Ryan Poles wanted to can Matt Eberflus. That doesn't make sense to me at all at this point. But I will say, once the season is over, well, and soon it will be, and we have more perspective, that New England game might have been the worst loss out of all of these.
Yeah, 3 points against the worst team in the league at the time, and then you're going up against Drake May. Obviously, comparisons. You're looking at the roster construction of the two teams. Clearly, the Bears were the superior one in that moment, so you feel as though they just simply got outclassed. And far too often, this Bears team came into games what seemed like unprepared. And I'm not simply talking about the lack of point production, 1.7 in first quarters this season. I know, right? I'm sorry. Wait, and I did point this out yesterday. When I say 1.7, it sounds wild if you're listening, because in your mind, you're thinking the number one team averages 13, 14 points a game or something like that. You think the deviation is that large. But the Vikings sit at the top with 7.5 points per first quarter.
Wow.
So it's crazy. But
okay.
Either way,
We got to take a break here, but I'll just fire a few off here without comment. All good head coaches with experience are already employed. Hey, Mark, do your next coach picks like less with some? It doesn't matter who they get. They're going to suck anyway. None of it matters. And let's see, Gabe and Grody back together on air is another thing I'm thankful for this holiday weekend.
Thanks for finding the G spot hanging with us.
That's right.
G&G.
I will tell you why the G&G magic will take a little hit. I will talk about that next, plus more of your calls and more Bears talks and James Big Cat Williams coming up at the top of the hour. Gabe and I are live at the Rally House, 1027 West Addison, right across the street from Wrigley Field. Come by, say hi, don't be afraid. A lot of people have been kind of lurking around, smiling at us, looking at us. Come in, say hey, it's all good. We want to talk to you. 312-644-6767. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Brody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
So glad you guys are listening to The Score this morning. We are broadcasting live from Rally House in Wrigleyville. Are you looking to gear up for the Illinois versus Northwestern game today at Wrigley Field? Look no further than Rally House, just across the street from the stadium. Come out and join us. Say hello. We'll be here until 11 this morning. Stop in for food.
Popcorn.
That's right.
Which
is perfect for broadcasting because kernels don't get stuck in your throat. It's a great thing to be eating. Luckily, we are equipped with water here as well, as Ray Diaz just stuffed a whole bunch of popcorn in his mouth. Yeah. It looks like a mixed.
It's a Garrett popcorn mix.
It's a Garrett popcorn.
I don't know if it's Garrett popcorns though, but shout out Garrett popcorn.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a Chicago classic mix is what they call it.
Ah,
little cheese, little caramel.
pretty good stuff. I love the caramel. You can also enter to win a $25 Rally House gift card. So thank you so much for being out here. We've got a few fans out here right now. I see a Bears hat. I saw some Illinois gear. We got a Cubs hat situation. Yes, somebody pumping their fist back there. He's all Illini'd up, Illinois.
The Donya got the North Face jacket on. We know what's going on out here. Staying warm.
Yeah, seriously, stay warm out here. You guys should go look at some of the knit hats. We've got the orange shoes right there, and that does not stand for Bears. That stands for the Illini Bears. Today. All the orange that we're seeing today is pro Illinois, and it is great to have you guys.
I have a question, quick, Grody.
Yes, sir.
Gentleman in the Illini hat, are you wearing long johns?
Long johns.
Smart. That's a true Chicagoan right there. He knows how to do it.
That's a great move right there. One of the great hacks and one of the great tricks from sitting in Soldier Field, because a long time ago in my life, I went to a whole lot of Bears games.
You were a Bears fan?
And sat in the south end. So there are tickets in the family. So one of the great tricks sitting out at Soldier Field is to take a cardboard piece of box to put on the ground for your feet. It is unbelievable what a difference that makes, because it's one layer to absorb. And if you don't have that, your feet will freeze if you don't have the proper footing. Right. See, there you go. There you go. Told you guys. I said, don't eat popcorn. And you're like, oh, yeah, whatever, Grody. Look at you, man. You're choking
I was flabbergasted at the life hack you gave us on this thing about staying warm.
That goes for you too, Ray. Okay? You shouldn't be eating popcorn. Rich, give me that popcorn. Give me this.
All right.
Unbelievable, you guys.
Don't give. Oh, damn. See?
Let's get. These guys were laughing at me, man. Let's go to John on the road to get this puppy back on the tracks. Thanks for waiting, John. You're on the score from
the
rally
morning.
House.
Is Gabe okay over there?
No, he's not. he's a little bit of an idiot. This is what he is. Yeah.
Gabe, it's so good to hear. I really miss Gabe. It is three is the magic number. But I want to say this. I want to just say this real quick. When I knew this was all doomed and I didn't think this was going to work out, I thought they should have fired Eberflus last year. But regardless, they didn't do it. And then if you guys remember, the Bears did a production this summer after the draft, about 20 to 30 minutes about the draft process. And when the one moment that I thought was real strange is when they were about to draft Odunze, and Ryan Poole turns around and goes, Shane, is this too much for you? And I was like, that's kind of weird to say. And then all of a sudden, like when they show the meeting of them, of Caleb and Shane for meeting for the first time in that quarterback room, it was just a really weird exchange. Go back and look at it.
Yeah,
and I knew at that moment this wasn't going to work out.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd probably thanks for the call, man.
Thanks for the call.
I probably have to go back and see that again. I mean, yeah, there might be several tells of things that we should have known.
But doesn't that – I mean, listen, when you're thinking about Ryan Poles, his personality, how he conducts himself, there is a little bit of Jimmy Butler to him. Right, and I like Ryan Poles. I'm very clear. I like Ryan Poles. Love what he's doing. Chef Poles, cook it all day, get all the spatulas and everything. I like it. But there is a little bit of a Jimmy Butler to him where, you know, you get a little healthy, you start dressing not even nicer, you're feeling yourself as the GM of the team, you know, and you start saying, you know, all the little swaggy stuff that you say. And there's some stuff that there is some things that Ryan Poles says that I'm like, dude, what?
Well, he said two things that are not aging well right now.
One, I'm going to take the North and never give it back?
Well, there was – okay, add that to the list. Maybe we can make a top 10 list. But
8.7.
8.7. Right. He said, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, so more or less paraphrasing, that this is the best depth he's had.
At the offensive line position.
Or the offensive line position. Yes,
but, which is true, though. It's a true statement.
It felt like, and yeah, I'm
in
not
his
gonna,
tenure as the Bears GM, this was.
Well, maybe in theory, it hasn't necessarily panned out that way, though. I mean, do you think that it's panned out that way? I mean,
in terms of them having depth,
yeah.
Remember year one when he was literally bringing bodies in just to fill space.
Well, year one,
where at least they're on the roster. At least everybody that's played offensive line this year has been on the roster.
Well, okay, relative to his time here, I suppose that is true. I still don't think that that's aged well. I also don't think it is aged well that he said, you know, that he said this is going to be a hard team to make this year. And now they're sitting; they've lost six in a row, and they're 4-7. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again to be very clear here. and that is, do you say that a lot, by the way? You say that a lot, to be very clear, because I've noticed that I've picked that up.
To be very clear?
Yeah, to be very clear.
No,
I want to be, you don't say that?
No, that's not.
Somebody says that. I'm copying somebody at this point. But to be very clear on this, I was fully supportive of the roster that Ryan Poles had built.
Of course.
I want to say it again. Like, so.
But you didn't think it was complete, Groats. Right.
Well,
you didn't think it was.
I didn't think it was ready to blast off. But I mean, my thing was, though, is I don't know if the Bears at the beginning of the season, I said I don't know if they're going to be as talented at the wide receiver position ever again, or at least in the next several years,
ever.
Because you had you have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze, and then throw in Cole Kmet, who's always improving when they actually do throw him the football. So all of that was in play for me. So I am admitting. I am doing this now retrospectively and looking back and saying, well, actually, some of these things were a problem that I probably should have been better at sniffing out.
When I think about this offense and I see what was there, do you think they had, because obviously beginning of season, this is the amount of weapons the Bears have, Caleb Williams walking into the best situation possible. Was it too much? I'm talking about the talent on offense. Was it too much for this team?
What do you
for
mean?
Shane Waldron, for Caleb? Was it too much? Because now you have to feed every mouth.
What you're saying.
You have to do too much. You have to make sure DJ Moore gets 10 targets. You want Keenan Allen to feel good. Roma Dunsey, I want to get some targets. Cole Kmet. But and then being, you know, obviously overwhelmed with the responsibility of doing that.
I think early on that's a great point. And now Caleb has figured out. I love the way he's using Keenan Allen all of a sudden. Like Keenan Allen went from, oh man, I mean, this guy is gone after this year, which he might still. Very well.
He said, I'm either coming back to Chicago or going back to LA. He said those are only two options.
Yeah. And at this point, I would not mind having Keenan Allen back on this.
I thought you were going to say I wouldn't mind him going back to LA.
No. I mean, I might have said that 5 weeks ago, but he's been a revelation, man. It's working. And DJ Moore has run hot and cold, but I love DJ Moore still. And I think Rome Odunze is going to be really good as well. So I'm still good with what they're doing at the wide receiver spot. We do have to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to James Big Cat Williams, former offensive lineman of the Bears. We'll see what he thinks about Matt Eberflus's firing, the way they've handled everything, and what to look forward to for the Chicago Bears here in the very near future. Along with Gabe Ramirez, I'm Mark Grody. We're at the Rally House in Wrigleyville at 1027 West Addison, right across the street from Wrigley Field on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.